Now, concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. If anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. You know, I was reading this recently. I try to read a number of chapters each morning in my quiet time. And this verse really hit me. If anyone loves God, this one is known by him. And I've had a problem over the years of really knowing what it is to really love. What does it mean by really loving? How can I know that I love God? What does he see in my life? There's a challenge here because there's so much veneer in our lives, so many fronts that we put up, so many faces that we put on. And as we grow in the Lord, we're peeling those away and we're trying to be more real, more what Christ would have us to be, more into his image, because that's God's great plan for us, is that we be conformed to the image of his Son. And he's begun that work down here below, and he wants us to get rid of all the baggage that we've picked up and accumulated right from our childhood. And of course, by virtue of our fallen sinful natures. And so this really spoke to me. If anyone loves God, this one is known by him. So for a few minutes this morning, I'd just like to meditate on some of the things that I have seen in relation to love. W.E. Vine, in his book, New Testament Dictionary of the Greek Words, I think it's something to this effect. He says that this love, this agape love, is not so much an emotional thing, because, you know, I tend to relate love to emotions. And as a young Christian, one of my brothers was in the Pentecostal movement, and he was writing to me that I should speak in tongues and this sort of thing. And I had a real battle about this emotional side of my life because I wasn't having the emotions. I'm not a very emotional person. One of our elders, Merv Schiffke, in our meeting, he says himself, he carries his heart on his shirt sleeve, and often he'll break down and cry. He'll be crying. He'll be preaching or teaching, or we'll even be talking, and some situation will come about that has really touched him, some person's need, some problem. And he'll just, you can see the emotion. And that doesn't often happen to me. It happened when I got back from Kenya, but I think a lot of that was maybe the stress and the loneliness and what I'd been through over there, the isolation of not having anyone at times to communicate with. And when I got up to speak at Wemeran, I really became emotional and found it hard to carry on. That doesn't often happen to me. So what is this love? Well, it's not so much an emotional thing, but this love, this agape love, is known by the actions that it prompts in our lives. So it's seen more in the actions that we do. Here is this agape love, whereas the other word, filio love, is the affectionate love that we really feel within our families. And it's the affection that we can have for one another as brothers and sisters. It's tremendous, isn't it? We read in, I think it's chapter 4 of Acts, that being let go, they went to their own company. Isn't that beautiful? Peter and John had been in prison. They went to their own company. And so there is a company of believers where we have this affection for one another, and it's wonderful to be able to meet with the Lord's people wherever I am and to experience that affectionate love as part of God's family. In John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus really brings this in chapter 13, in fact, in verse 34, he says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So here he's bringing it out. What was new about this commandment? The old commandment said that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbour as yourself. So what's new? Well, I think it's the example of the Lord's love himself. He'd been amongst them, and they had experienced his love. My wife says I'm a stirrer, and that's true. There are times when I get a bit toey. Things annoy me. And if you work among some of these folk in Africa, it's a bit of a problem. When I went over the first time, she said, "Now, you be patient." So with these sort of attitudes that we have to learn to curb them, and we have to really show love. And the Lord had worked with these disciples, and they had seen that love showing through. Where I would have got Toby, I would have really drop-kicked them, as we might say. You know, they were having a dispute over who was going to be the greatest among them. Imagine it. You know, how gently the Lord dealt with it. And the disciples, James and John, through their mother, came with this ambitious request. Let us sit one at your right hand and the other at your left when you come into your kingdom. Now, you know, that could be really annoying to us, couldn't it? But the Lord, how gently he handled it. You know, he said, the kings of the Gentiles, that's what they do. They like to exercise this authority and they have their great ones, but it shall not be so among you. He that is greatest among you will be least and servant of all. And then he went on to say, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister or to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And so this love was seen in the way the Lord dealt with situations. And so it's a new quality of love that the Lord is speaking about. And it's a love that really flows from him himself, because, you know, naturally I don't have this love. I've got to tell you that. It's a supernatural love. It comes to mind now, 1 John chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God, born into his family. Just think of that. What manner of love. And that word evidently means it's an otherworldly love. It's a love beyond our experience. It's a love that we by nature do not comprehend and cannot understand. It's out of this world. What manner of love? An otherworldly love. And so Romans chapter 8 says, tribulation worketh experience, and experience and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How? By the Holy Spirit that is given unto us. It's only because God has done a work in our hearts that we can know anything about this love. The world out there, I think, knows a lot of affection. My oldest brother is a very upright man, a wonderful brother, but he's not saved. And yet the affection he has. And I think that's the difference. This agape love is something that can only be entered into because God has saved us and he's put his Spirit within us. And it's through his Spirit that we can really exercise this love. By nature, I'm a very self-centered and selfish person. And that's the very basis of sin. Self-centeredness, isn't it? That's what sin is. Living for ourselves. And I reckon if I wasn't saved, I'd be on about my fifth marriage now. But you see, God does a work in our lives to save us and to change us and to mould us into what he wants us to be. We're not yet there, we're not yet perfect, but God is working. It does not yet appear what we shall be, that goes on to say in 1 John 3. Oh yes, look at me now, I'm a pretty rough old object, aren't I, if you really got to know me well. But you wait till the Lord's finished with me. It's going to be a wonderful day, isn't it, when we see him. We shall be like him. But in the meantime, he's working in our lives. And the greatest tragedy is to experience the dealings of God in our lives. We get that coming out in Hebrews, where the discipline that God brings, the chastening that God brings in our lives, I think it's in chapter 12, isn't it? Every son whom he receives, he chastens and he scourges. And the greatest tragedy of life is for a Christian to receive the discipline and the chastening without learning the lesson, and to go through life and to end up a babe in Christ, an old man or an old woman full of bitterness and full of failure in the life spiritually, not having grown because they haven't taken to heart and allowed the Spirit of God to develop within them that Christ-likeness which can only be done through the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now notice chapter 14, it's Jesus says in verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Now, I remember witnessing door to door in Mariba many years ago, and I ran into this Seventh-day Adventist lady, and she wanted to know whether I kept the Sabbath or not, and I said no. Well, she said, you're not keeping the commandments, so you can't love God if you don't keep those commandments. And I don't think I don't think that's the thought here at all. We read in 1 John that his commandments are not grievous. In other words, the Lord Jesus has outlined in his word the things that he wants us to do. And one of the marks of love is that if we love him, we will want to do it. I'm not here today as a legalistic principle. I'm not here today because I feel I've got to be here today. I'm here today because I do, in my heart, I do love the Lord Jesus Christ in my own way, not as much as I'd like to. My love is so weak. And you get that with Peter. We have the comparison of love in the life of Peter. Peter says to the Lord, after he denied him three times, Peter, do you love me? Agape. Do you love me with that deep, sacrificial, giving love? Peter couldn't respond. He said, Lord, you know that I am affectionate of you. I'm affectionate of you. I'm fond of you, Lord, in an affectionate way. And then the Lord really hammers it home again. You know, the Lord has his way of bringing things home to us to teach us lessons, and sometimes we're a little bit thick in the head to learn them. So Peter had to learn this lesson. He said again, Peter, do you love me more than these? Feed my lambs. He said again, Lord, you know I'm affectionate to you. And then the Lord changed it. Peter, are you affectionate to me? Feed my sheep. It's wonderful, isn't it, how God brings that out. Here we have the comparison of love. What is our love in comparison with his love? Well, it's very poor, isn't it? But then we have the why of love in 1 John chapter 4, where it says, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Isn't that beautiful? That's the why of love. Why do we love him? Why are we here today? Because he first loved us. That's what's touched us, isn't it? Really it is. It was the gospel that brought us to Christ. It was the gospel of the grace of God that touched our hearts and moved us into this circle of fellowship with himself and with one another. We are brought into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and it's through the precious blood that he shed on the cross that this has come about. And so we have reasons for love. If you go to Psalm 116, David had reasons for loving the Lord, and it's a beautiful, beautiful psalm. Let's just read a few verses there in Psalm 116. It says, I love the Lord because, there it is, why do I love the Lord? David says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. There was a time when I called on the Lord, Lord, save me. The deep work of the Spirit, I didn't understand what was happening, but I was listening to the Word of God being preached and going along to the assembly at Innisfail. We received a tract in the mail, and my mother was a believer. She was looking for a church, she said, where they practice the Bible. And so I went in with her and heard the late Phil Moss preaching, and I hadn't heard anything like that, and I came to see that I was a sinner, but that I had a Saviour. And I cried out, Lord, save me, deliver me from my sins, save me. I was really broken up. And he has inclined his ear to me. Isn't that beautiful? Like a father inclines to a child. He bent over and he heard my cry. At the foot of that tree there up in the scrub of North Queensland, I had my own farm. Just a young fellow of 22, single, not married. And I got down there, Lord, save me. And he inclined his ear. Verse 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. Isn't it wonderful that over all the last 42 years he's put up with me? How often I failed him. Tell you what, young fellows and sisters, as well, you haven't had to work with me. We need a lot of grace to work with one another. And as I go on further and further, I realise how patient and kind my brothers and sisters have been to me. And therefore how patient and kind I need to be with them, with their failures and their infirmities as well. You haven't got a perfect church here. I've yet to meet in one. But we thank God. I thank God for my brothers and sisters at Wamuran. And the further I go, the more I appreciate them. And the less I see of the weaknesses in them, because I realise I've got them, and worse probably than what they've got. And I realise that it's the mercy and the grace of God in our lives that we need to appreciate. He is gracious. He is righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserved the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Can't we all say amen to that? Amen. In Africa, they would all lift the roof with their amen. And so praise God for what he's done. And then verse 12, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Here's the response now of our love to him. Okay, here's the response. I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. I think those words in the psalm are such beautiful words. So we have reasons for love. We then have the practicality of love. If 1 John chapter 4 also brings it out that if we see our brother or sister have need and we shut up our bowels of compassion toward them, how can the love of God dwell in us? Is that right? Well, you know, we don't get much opportunity in Australia, because what need is there? What need do I really have? What need do you really have? Maybe there are times a need of encouragement and a need of support in a situation. But I'm thinking materially, what needs do we really have? But look, you want to come with me to Africa. It'll make your heart break when you have to turn away from situations that you cannot meet that need. You cannot meet it. And other situations that you can meet. And my brothers and sisters, love is a very practical thing. The practicality of love. We have to be practical in expressing our love to one another. And then the last one, of course, is in Peter's word in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, where Peter touches on this love. And he says, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Whom having not seen, you love. You know, that's the difficulty of love. Isn't that a difficulty? How can you love somebody you've never seen? Can you answer that one this morning? Isn't it wonderful that we can say we love him? How have we come to know him? By his Spirit and through his word we've come to know him, haven't we? And as we spend time in his presence daily meditating on his word, we getting to know him better. That love, I believe, will deepen in our life and it will be expressed more fully to others. How can we say we love God, whom we have not seen, if we do not love our brother or our sister whom we have seen? And so the love that the Lord has for us through the Holy Spirit is in our hearts now, and we have the opportunity here below to express it in practical ways as we move through this life.